God's word with you. I am honored. Amen. Good morning, Pastor McQueen, Pastor Neil, St. James family. I have friends and family here, so I thank you for coming this morning. Good morning, Corday. God just always, good morning, Kitwan. God always makes a way for you to serve him. Yesterday, Corday went and spent the night with Solomon, so that left me time to just stand in his presence and be in awe of him. So when you seek to do God's work, God always makes a way for you. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we may see you. Open our hearts that we may receive you. Open our ears so we may hear a word from you, Lord, and experience you this morning. We ask that you just clear all hindrances from us, Lord, so that we be free not only to worship you, but to receive the word that you have given us this morning. God, I thank you and I praise you, because you are worthy to be praised. I thank you for the victory that Jesus has won for me and his resurrection. I take my place with him in the heavenlies, and I recognize faith by faith that all wicked spirits and Satan himself are under my feet. I declare that Satan and his wicked spirits are subject to me in the name of Jesus. Lord, prosper and bless the service. Prosper and bless everyone here, Lord. We know that you are a need meter. So, Lord, if there's any needs here today, we ask that you just move on those needs and show us who you are. By faith and dependence upon you, I put off my fleshly works. The old man stands in all the victory of the crucifixion, where I am cleansed from the old nature. I put on the new man and stand in the victory of the resurrection and the provision that God has made for me to live above sin. I surrender myself to you. I ask that you use me for such a time as this to speak your words, to do your will. Father, I pray that you will have your way with me today. I pray that you will have your way with everyone today. Open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits for your people here today so that we can receive a word from you. I cover us with the blood of Jesus, and I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will bring all the work of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the Pentecost into our lives today. I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you would please stand with me for the reading of the word. We're going to Acts 2:42. If you got it, say amen. And they steadfastly preserved, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and the fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of the bread, and including the Lord's Supper and prayers. Amen. 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 The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe seating. In the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the traditional, I'm going to give you a little history about Acts, so just bear with me as I build my theme. Our theme today is one in spirit, all in ministry, in the spirit of fellowship. Amen. The traditional name for the books of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. But a more accurate name might be a few Acts of a few of the Apostles. Peter and Paul are particularly prominent, that other apostles play little or no role. The book describes some developments in detail, but sometimes skips several years at a time. It also might be called Acts of the Risen Jesus, which is an appropriate name for the book, because Luke tells us in his first book, the Gospel of Luke, that it was all about Jesus when he began to teach and until the day he was taken up into heaven. Acts, the second volume of Luke's history writing project, is about what Jesus did after his ascension into heaven. He directed and taught the apostles through the Holy Spirit. As Jesus had promised, he sent the Spirit to guide the apostles, the Holy Spirit, after he returned to heaven. Since the book frequently reminds us that actions of the apostles were inspired and guided by God's Spirit, Acts of the Holy Spirit has also been suggested as a descriptive title for this book. Acts is filled with references to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The story simply wouldn't be possible without God. He started it, he motivated it, and he gave it direction. Luke does not give us systematic descriptions of God, but he describes what God did with his church. God praised, worshiped, obeyed, and prayed to. Luke tells us repeatedly that God sent Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, glorified him, and gave him authority. God is the one who calls people to repentance, who gives the Holy Spirit, who directs the mission. It is his work. The message is about the kingdom, advancing God's kingdom, the word of God, the gospel of God, the grace of God. So my text today is, and they steadfastly preserved themselves, devoting themselves constantly to the resurrection and the fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of the bread, and including the Lord's Supper and prayers. Now, we know this book is the authority of God. Amen. So as we continue to go on our journey with Christ, we should make sure that we study this word. This is the authority of God. This is how we should walk. This is how we should move. This is how we should live. Our beings, everything that we do should come from this book. This is our book of instruction for life. Amen?
Amen.
The apostles were all on one accord. Can you imagine what happens when we're all on one accord?
Amen.
The Spirit of God just manifests himself. That's where signs and wonders and miracles will occur. Being on one accord signifies that their minds and their hearts, their thoughts, their desires were focused on one thing. They were all focused on God. Everyone having the same desire, the same view, the same prayer, all hearts free and clear. Everyone worshiping, praying, and praising God. Every heart surrendered to God. When the people of God came together on one accord with the same Spirit, as we do every Sunday, the manifestation of his presence, his power, and his Spirit appeared. We can expect a change in our hearts, our minds, and our circumstances when we worship God, when we glorify God, when we seek to glorify God in all the things that we do. We can expect God to show up. So when we gather in this house Sunday after Sunday to worship, to praise, to experience God for corporate fellowship, for prayer and worship, we must also take that experience with us when we leave in order to have and maintain an intimate experience with him. You are called to a purpose, and you are called to do great things. I'm a witness to that. If it wasn't for God that was on my side, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be, but I would not be here. God has truly used this church to nurture me, to comfort me, to disciple me, to discipline me, so that I could be who he's called me to be today. Thirsty. I have a few points that I want to make today. This one scripture gives us a lot of detail. It says they steadfastly preserved, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction. So they listened for God's word. They sought God's word, because scripture does tell us to seek him and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. They were constantly in fellowship with the apostles, and they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. That's why it's so important for us not only to come here so that God can equip us to go out into the world to do God's work, but we need to get to be filled with his word, with his power and his presence. And we do that by spending time with him daily. Not only spending time with him daily, but coming together to worship corporately and to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. We're called to encourage each other. Had Brother Clarence not been in Disciple One and the rest of my Disciple One mates had not been there to encourage me, I wouldn't be here today. Not only did they listen to me, but I learned from them. I was able to grow with them. And later on, as I facilitated Disciple One, I was able to grow with that group as well. So not only was I receiving instruction, but I was able to facilitate and to help others grow and to do God's work. So it is very important that we hear God's word, seek to hear God's word. The apostles devoted themselves to hearing God's word. That's one point. And we are, John Dick said, in, we are witnesses to his grace and his power. We seek from God the influence of his Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and regenerate our hearts, receiving the Lord Christ, setting your seal that God is true. So do we know that God is true? Amen. Amen. So we are to value God's word, meditate on God's word, grow stronger in God's word, grow stronger in our walk with God, so that we can reach out to others and share God's word with his love. Oftentimes we get so wrapped up in the church, the work of the church, the responsibilities of the church, that we forget that we're supposed to go out. Not only are we called to come in, but we are all called to go out and to be a witness to who God is. There are people out there that don't know his love or might be separated from his love for whatever reason, but we're called to be unconditionally, non-condemning Christians sharing God's word. Because it's the sharing of his word that will allow us, or maybe allow someone, to receive that word from us. That's why we have to die daily, so that people know, they see the humanness in us, but they also need to see that God is leading us. So my walk is stronger than my talk. Amen. 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 And God's word is active and living. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It is my constant prayer that God will create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Because I seek to do his work. I seek to do his will, and I seek to glorify him in my life. So, but Romans also tells us that we all fall short of God's glory. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. So we are to remember when we fall short that we should repent and turn, but thank God for his grace and his mercy. But also remember to extend that to others in our walk. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God wants us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we can only do that by seeking him. Amen. We must hear God through the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 tells us, again, this is the living word. It's alive and well, so all we have to do is be intimate with it, and God will speak to us. It says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. We have God's word, his Son, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts to aid us in hearing his voice. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Yeah. So we must invite him to come in. We must invite him to stay. We must ask him to dwell within our house, our holy temples, not just our physical bodies, but our houses, our apartments, our homes. We must take him with us to our workplace. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I see devils just flying around, and I'd be like, Lord, help me. Please help me, because I am responsible and accountable to you. So, Lord, just let the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Lord, just keep me in your everlasting arms. Lord, just keep me. And hurry up and get me to Africa so I can serve. How much more do I have to take in this, Lord? How much do I have to endure? So, the New Testament words are defined as rhema and logos. And they both have similar meaning, the spoken word. Rhema has to do with hearing the voice and sensing the spirit which God's words are spoken. Logos is recorded words that have been spoken. Logos, but when we pray and we seek the Holy Spirit and when we invite him to come into our hearts and our minds, that's when the word becomes rhema. That's when the word becomes the living word. Amen. When God speaks to us, he gives us a message through his word. He can also use any method that he wants. He will use people, strangers, your children. He might even use CNN. You just never know. So we just have to be open and receptive to receiving the word that God has given us. So rhema word is experiencing the living God. It's the word made flesh. When we listen for God's word, we seek learning, correction, instruction from him. The logo word becomes the rhema word, which becomes good fruit. So we always want to produce good fruit in our lives. Amen? Amen. And if, in case we don't know what that fruit is, that's love, peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, which can be found in Galatians 5:22. So we must live by the Spirit in order to stay in step with God. The disciples devoted themselves to the teaching. So we are expected to go. Once we get that word in us, we are called out to go. Now, how does the Methodist Church do that? Well, they have all kind of ministries. All you have to do, especially in this church, is just get tapped in, get plugged in. But one avenue is laity. The laity was designed to assist the clergy. So when the pastors have laity to work with them, then they won't be necessarily overburdened. We all want to talk to our pastors. We don't want to talk to nobody else. But at the same time, God has equipped other people to minister to us. Amen. So that our pastors can be in community with God. Amen. Amen. Now, the North Georgia Conference does a training through mobilization, laity for services, leading, caring, and communicating in the local congregation. So there is so much work that needs to be done in this church and beyond. So you can just pick one thing and decide, this is what I want to do. Or you can pray and ask God to lead you. And one little thing that you do can make a significant difference in the life of the church and also in the life of the people that we serve as well as the community. Amen. Amen. Now, the history of the United Methodist Church starting laity, initially a lay speaker was called an exhorter, and it has existed in the church almost from the beginning of Methodism. We do not know the exact time that the first exhorter became to speak. But one of the earliest references to the precursor of the office was a certified lay speaker occurred in 1746. Only 2 years after the first annual conference of Methodists, a meeting of Wesley's British Methodist preachers in Cornwall, England, there had been active hostilities against them. So they had lost some of their clergy. And the Methodists, and that's when the Methodist movement came for lay preachers. And the movement was to exterminate Methodists from Cornwall, resulted in a number of incidents from that it left meetings of Methodists without leaders and threatened their existence. So this is an example of people who are stepping up to do God's work, to do God's will, to do God's way, but some people don't like change. They fear change. And so they wanted to do everything in their power to stop that change. But God always has a plan, because as a result, they grew. The Methodist Church grew. So Thomas Jackson in the life of Charles Wesley says, under these circumstances, a new class of laborers have been raised up in almost every place bearing the name of exhorters. They did not preach in the usual sense of that term, but they held meetings for prayer, addressed the people on the subject of religion, giving them requisite encouragement and admonition, and calling them that were without to repentance. In this, Charles Wesley saw the hand of God rising up instruments to carry out his own work. The exhorters being generally men of superior sense and of unquestionable piety, the laborers of these men, the societies were kept together. Thus the work was carried on. And despite of the opposition, persecutors themselves, if not convinced, saw efforts to be hopeless and agreed to refrain from these men. So they left them alone. So when God has a plan, all we have to do is walk in it. But it's very important that we know his plan, that we ask him for direction and instruction on his plan. Amen. But even in this movement, John Wesley was a little reserved. He did not allow his lay preachers to preach. He did allow them to preach, but he guarded them at every level of ministry, of office, of exhorters. So although we can go out and teach and preach and share God's word, it's important that we remember who we report to. Amen. So we have to listen to God's word, be ready to learn God's word, be willing to be under the instruction of God's word, right. Yeah. Even if it hurts. Amen. And when we are ready to listen, he will speak to us. We are expected to meditate on his word so that we can teach every people, every age, in all that we do. We must teach our children to be witnesses, and we must teach those and be willing and open to teach those who do not know him. Ephesians 4:11 says, now these are the gifts gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do work and to build the church, the body of the church. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. We will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like every children. We won't be tossed, blown away to and fro. So, you know, when the next Joe Blow comes with his word and he says, take this handkerchief and, you know, send me $50 and it'll bless you, I'll send it back to you, then we know that we should take heed to that and say, God, you know, God, I believe in you. I believe in the living God. I believe in the living word. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust this word. This is what I'm going to believe. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like. The truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Amen. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So we're all different, but we all come together and work together, and we can do great things for God. Amen. I mean, I can't live without my thumb. You know, I can, because today with, you know, technology and medical things, they can put something there. But if I don't have my thumb, I may not be able to write. I may not be able to hold things. So that's why it's very important that we realize where we fit in God's body, so that we can be used by God. Not only used by God, but glorified by God. Amen. So once we are learned, once we have learned the word, we have grown in the word, we have developed in the word, then we can teach with authority. Because when I know God's word and I've experienced it for myself, then I know what he's capable of doing. Not only do I know what he's capable of doing, but I can share it with other people. That makes me a witness. So we are called to be witnesses. And it's very important that we use that gift to be a witness. And it can be something just as simple as telling someone that God loves them. And that made a difference for me. Telling me that I was not alone, that God was with me, changed my life. Telling me that when I felt like I wanted to give up, that I would not and that I would succeed. There was someone in my life that was who had the authority to teach God's word and to share God's word that gave me that word. So the gospel brings good news. It is important that we know the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament, everybody don't want to read it because God didn't play in the Old Testament. He wiped people out. Obey me or die. So we are grateful for the New Testament because we're introduced to his love, his grace, and his mercy. And then we learn his wisdom and we can walk in his ways, but with the complete knowledge of this word, we can walk in authority. We can know, we can tell the demons to flee, and they will flee because we are standing on the authority in his word. Amen?
Amen.
So one of my last point, and that would be prayer. Prayer is vital to the success of a Christian life and the Christian walk. It is so important that we pray because it keeps us in tune with God. Prayer is communicating with God, talking to God, listening to God. It could be, Father, you created me and you know me, and how should I live my life? Give me instruction. Speak to me. Show me. My life is in your hands. I surrender to you. Simple. We must be oneness in spirit in the community of believers. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
So my theme today is one in spirit, all in ministry, in the spirit of fellowship.
Amen.
So preparing to be one in spirit is learning God's word, teaching God's word, sharing God's word. All in ministry is all of us stepping out and saying, God, use me. However you want to do it, your will, your way. But give me the strength, because I know I can't do it on my own. And in the spirit of fellowship, that's when we come together and we come to share God's word with one another, because when we go out into the field to teach, to preach, to pray, we get empty. Or, you know, some people just might not listen, and that could hurt your feelings. But we have to seek to glorify God and make sure that God gets the glory in what we're doing and release ourselves from the end result.
Yes,
I'm called to serve.
Right.
God, you're called to do the conviction. I don't do the convicting, but I am your vessel and use me.
Amen.
So the disciples started, or the first prayer that's to me most relevant with the disciples is the Lord's Prayer. And he said, Jesus, the disciple says, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven. The first word reminds us that we are not alone. Our Father. That we are linked to God through one another as a family. The spiritual journey is a communal journey. So we come close to God. We are drawn to God into a close relationship with one another. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus moves us from the remote images of God to an intimate image of God. one whose likeness we want to bear. We want to experience the deepest levels of God. Then we pray, how holy is your name? Acknowledging God's holiness reminds us that the basic posture of prayer is awe. Awe that grows from a sensing of how great God is. Knowing how great he is. Yearning to be in relationship with him. Yearning to please him is the essence of prayer. Being with God as you are naming God, who God is, it allows us to experience him degree by degree. We go from glory to glory. And then there's, in thy kingdom come. Ask the world to be transformed into the place where God reigns. So we have to be equipped to do that. Because it is about advancing his kingdom, helping his people, and being a witness to those who may never walk in church. But they may change just from a word from you. They might be given a word of hope. They may be delivered. You might stop someone from committing suicide just from being open and available. And we don't have to be well-versed in scripture to do that. We just need to be open to allowing God to use us. God will give you the words. All we have to do is be open and available. So, the prayer does not leave us considering a lofty idea like most of Jesus' teachings. This one is finally infinitely personal, because when we pray for God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, we do well to remember that we are made flesh. So we ask for God. We ask him to, and we invite him into our hearts. And then the door opens and we change. So how do we move from praying the words to living them? We do that by facing our daily decisions, asking God that his will be done and not our will. We ask, will it make the world better? Is this what God wants? Will it bring justice to others? Will it bring others closer to him? Then we embody our prayers by opening ourselves to receive grace to choose God's way. And we allow God to work through us. Thy kingdom come. Ask that the world be transformed into a place that it reigns, so that we can continue to pray God's will. Thy will be done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. So we want his glory to manifest itself in this world. We ask him to give us this day our daily bread, to remind us that he is the one who provides for us. Amen. There's enough food on this planet to feed everyone. There's enough resources on this planet for everyone. Now, me being a missionary, I've done a lot of research, and I've learned that we as Americans consume 7 times more than any other country in the world. 7 times. So while we are in this financial crisis, and it's unfortunate, we also learn that we consume too much. I don't know about y'all, but I can talk to me. I know I consume a lot of stuff. And there's just things that I can do that will make a difference, one small difference. If we all took the chance, the time to make one small difference, we could change the world. Maybe the world is too broad for you. We can change our world right here in our community. We have people that are hurting here. So we have people hurting all over.
Amen.
So we just must ask God to teach us and to show us how to be good stewards over the resources that he's given us. That is my daily prayer. Because, you know, I like to eat out. So I've started to try to eat lunch, to bring my own lunch so that I can do other things and help do things that will advance his kingdom. Because that's what we are all about. It's about us working. Because he has called us to do the work, to advance his kingdom. Not only has he called us, but he's equipped us to do it. There is nothing that we cannot do without God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, my last point will be in this prayer, he talked about forgiveness. So oftentimes we don't want to forgive. It's like, you hurt me. I don't know. I don't want to forgive you. But that is not what the word says. That's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to forgive. He has called us to be a light in the world. And if we are harboring forgiveness or a lack of forgiveness in our hearts, then that brings bitterness. And if we have bitterness in us, then we are separated from God. Because then I can't hear. I can't hear God if I'm mad at you because of something you said to hurt my feelings. So I have to take that to God and say, God, please, please release this from me. Give me the strength to forgive. Give me the strength to go on. Give me the strength to be who you've called me to be. Let me not lose sight of the work that you've called me to do. Amen.
Amen.
So as we release ourselves and we learn to forgive those who've harmed us, we are free. We no longer have to nurse those past hurts or use energy towards those things, but we can take that energy and apply it to God. If Paul had not forgiven himself, and we also must forgive ourselves too. Oftentimes, one of my biggest challenges, what I learned in Disciple was, what stopped me from going to church, coming to church before was, I felt that God, I wasn't worthy being a single mom, not being married. But I learned in Disciple that God had forgiven me and that I needed to forgive myself.
Amen.
And that my children were a reward from heaven. That gives me the strength to be the mother that God wants me to be for them, to nurture them, to pour into them, to be, so they can be the men of God that God has called them to be, because in their lives, God will get the glory. So we must learn to walk freely with God. So as you leave here today, the word that you should take with you is one in ministry, all in ministry, in the spirit of fellowship, because I know I'm your witness, your testimony that if this wasn't present in this church, I would not be here today.
Amen.
So this is the word for the people of God.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise for the message and the messenger. Would you stand if you're able to stand? What a powerful witness as to what God can do in a life. Someone who just said yes. In spite of all of the things that they have gone through, in spite of had to overcome her own unforgiveness of herself, and now